Good morning. It is nice to be with you once again. I could talk like a trini, but you probably wouldn't understand me. So I'll try my very best. I hope you understand my accent. You all understand what I'm saying? Good. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that every deaf ear be open to the word of God. I pray, O God, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word, and Father, that it would take root and bring forth growth. I pray, O Lord, that, Father, the words that I speak, it would come from you, and that the Holy Spirit would bring the interpretation to your people this morning. And I pray, O God, that, Father, they would leave here empowered. Father, let them hear the truth of your word, and let the word set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, and we're reading from verse 16. And it says, I will bring the blind by a way that they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them, and not forsake them. Isaiah 45, reading verses 2 and 3, says, I will go before you, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Now, we always love these words where God is just going to clear everything. He's going to make the way. He's going to just remove every bar, every iron that's in our way. But the very next verse, Isaiah 45, verse 3, it says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Now, normally we're used to God, show us the light, you are the light. But in this scripture, God says, I will show you the treasures of darkness. And it's different. It's different from what we usually know. And it says, I will show you the hidden riches of secret places. When I was here at prayer center, Pastor Obi always told us about praying in our closets. There is something about when you pray in your enclosed spaces. There's a power that comes that is different from when you come on Sunday morning to pray with everyone else. You see, when you do things in hidden places, God will reward you openly. And your alone time with God is very important. You see, God also used darkness. He's not only the God of light, but he's also God even in the dark times. Even in creation, it said, darkness hovered on the face of the earth. And Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So I want you to know that even though God is there with you in the light places where you can actually see where you're going, it's important that we know that he's also there in the dark places where you have no clue what God is doing, when you can't even see what there is. You see, in the dark places is where creation began. Because God is the God of even the dark places. Another thing is that even in the birthing process, the baby is in the womb for 9 months. And let me tell you, it's dark in there. But even in the dark places, God is knitting us together in our mother's womb. He uses the dark places. And whether we can see the light, we can actually see what God is doing or not, he is still working. And sometimes we got to trust God even when we can't see what he's doing. Another thing was that when Jesus was on the cross, there was a total eclipse. It says from the 6th to the 9th hour, darkness was over the land. And that's in Matthew 27, verse 45. Even when he was on the cross, there was total darkness. Complete darkness. But it didn't mean it was the end. It meant that he was working even in the darkness. When everyone was panicking, the entire place was dark, God was working in the darkness. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, It says when he rose, it was at night. You see, God works the greatest miracles sometimes even in the darkness. When we can't even see, God, I don't even know what you're doing. I don't even know how you're doing it. He works even then. There's a song that says, in the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the quiet hour, I will wait only for you because I want to know you more. Do you only want to know God when you can see what God is doing? Or do you also want to know him when you have no idea what he is doing? We should have blind faith. Don't only have faith when you could see how God is going to work this out. Have faith even when you can't even see. You can't even imagine. You see, God, what God is should matter. It should matter more than anything else. God is your hope and God is your peace. But you need to know that God is going to do what he's going to do when he wants to do it. He doesn't need your permission. He's God. We need him. He doesn't need us. He is still God whether we were here or not. He was God even before we even came about. We need to trust in the goodness of God. And we sang that song, God is so good. We need to know that he is good even when absolutely nothing is working for us. God is still good. Not only when you can see the great things that he did, but even when you can't even see anything at all, he is still good. We need to know that God is wise. He has all wisdom. God is not confused. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes you may be in turmoil and you have no idea what's going on. But let me tell you, God has it under control. There's nothing he doesn't know. God is also a God of power. He is more than able to pull you out of whatever situation you're in. When you feel like you're drowning and you feel like there is no hope, let me tell you, God is able to move mountains. Also, God created us and we're the most favored of all his creation. Do you trust God only when you can see signs around you and you get confirmation? Or do you trust God when absolutely nothing works? Do you trust him when you don't see anything and everything's dark and nothing makes sense? Do you trust him in the dark places? I want to take you to the book of Habakkuk. He is a prophet, and he's not one of the major ones in the Bible. He's one of the minor prophets. And if you read the book of Habakkuk, it seems like he is one confused prophet. The book is only 3 chapters, and I will encourage you to read these. But throughout this book, it begins with a discussion between God and this prophet Habakkuk. And then there comes a story of woe. A story of just destruction. And he's like, God, I don't even know what you're doing. You're raising my enemies. You're going to use my enemies. And he just couldn't understand. So he was asking God, God, what are you doing? And then he ends with a psalm. Because he just couldn't, his mind couldn't fathom what God was telling him. Habakkuk is a book that shows that he grows in faith. 3 chapters, he talks about despair and all the things that God is doing that just doesn't seem to make sense. God's going to raise up the enemies and God's going to use the enemies. He's like, God, why not use me? Why are you choosing to use my enemies above me? But God knew why. And in the end, he ends this book saying, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And it's only in the last 3 chapters of that book, he just surrenders and he says, you know what, God? Even though I don't understand how you're doing it, why you're doing it this way, this is your method, I'm going to trust you anyway. You see, in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, how long will I call for help and you not help me? You see, he felt like God was taking too long. Do we feel like that sometimes? Verse 5, he says, he looks at the nation, he observes and he wonders and he's wondering, God, what are you doing? He's just confused. God, what are you doing? I don't understand. It's not that God is confused. It's sometimes we don't understand his methods and we would prefer he used another method, but we got to trust that God knows best. You know, when people are going through tough times, we encourage them. We say, you know what? It'll be all right. God's going to pull you through. You're going to do okay. We give them a nice little pep talk. But do you know when we're in this situation, we start asking questions. God, why? What are you doing? How much longer? And so we just start doubting and we just start asking questions. We have got to know that God knows best. And sometimes our words say opposite than us knowing that God knows best. Sometimes you feel distressed and you feel down and out. But in the last 3 chapters of the book of Habakkuk, he says, yet I will rejoice. Even though the everything is just collapsing and nothing is working out, yet through all this despair, I'm still going to trust you. I don't understand why, but I just know you, God, and I'm trusting you. You see, some people, when they don't understand things, they deal with it in 3 ways. Most of them just resign, and these are the people who sigh a lot. They just want to give up. Some people get detached, and they just distract themselves. You know, whether it's drugs or partying or just, you know, being a TV addict or social media freak. They just camouflage their pain. Some people just do like bravado. Come on, take it like a man. I can do this. I can make it through. But you know, it's like the elephant in the room. Eventually, you're going to have to deal with the problem. Ignoring it does not help. So what do you do when God is taking too long? What do you do? It says, when there's uncertainty in front and you're just afraid, you're just falling apart at the seams, what do you do? In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice. I will exalt in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the reliability of God. When I can't see him or I don't know what he's doing, I'm just going to trust that God is God and he's going to take care of it. I'm going to trust God in the dark, even when I have no support whatsoever. I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to trust him blindly. You see, Habakkuk appealed to 2 things. He knew God's character. He knew what God was like. He knew that God was God even in the dark places. And even though he couldn't see what God was saying and he couldn't understand it, he still said, you know what? You are God. It is true. I don't understand why. I don't understand how, but I'm just going with it. Another thing is that he knew the works of God. He knew what God did in the past. And this is why the Bible is so important. Do you know that most of the Bible is the Old Testament? Do you know that most of the Old Testament is the history books? I don't like history, but I still read it because it's important. You see, if you don't read the history, you don't know what God could do. Sometimes you need to read the history to understand, wow, God did this. And it's amazing when you go through some of those stories in the Old Testament and say, wow, God, you did those things. How much more you can do it for me? It's a book of remembrance, and it's testimonies, and you just need to stop complaining sometimes. I'm going to tell you this, and some of you are going to start poking each other, because Proverbs 21 verse 9 says, it is better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome woman. Do you know when you're trying to tell God what to do, you're like a quarrelsome woman? And the Bible says it's better you live on the corner of a housetop than to deal with a quarrelsome woman. Do not be a quarrelsome woman. Don't tell God how to do his job. All right? Proverbs 21:19 says it's better to live in a desert than in a quarrelsome and fretful woman. And Proverbs 27:15 says a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. When we are trying to tell God how to do his job, we're like a quarrelsome woman. It just does not sound pleasing to the ear. You see, God is not dumb. He knows what to do. Even more than you. He created your mind. So everything you think you know, he knows more. What do you do when you can't figure it out, when you can't solve it? You just shut up and go to sleep. That's the best advice I can give you. God don't need you to tell him what to do. He knows what to do. Be silent before the Lord and leave God alone. Let him do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Stop being a quarrelsome wife. Come on, tell yourself. Stop being a quarrelsome wife to the Lord. Some of you don't believe it, but you're going to. So what do you do in confusion? Don't be a quarrelsome wife. You worship. What do you do in your despair? You worship. What do you do when you lack clarity? You worship. What do you do when you're just empty? You worship. When you're in dark places, worship. Don't question, don't doubt God, just worship him. Because it's who he is. All I can do is worship you. I love those words. It's all I can do. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how, why, when. I just know you're going to. When Peter was on the water, he had his eyes on the Lord. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. In the dark places, keep your eyes on the Lord. Worship him. If you need to surround yourself with the gospel, do it. If you need to play it while you sleep, do it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Worship. Every single breath that you have, just worship him. Don't tell him what to do. Don't tell him how to do it. Just trust that he knows what he's doing and he'll take care of it. Many of us, we are like Peter. We just, you know, we're so excited and then halfway through we just kind of lose our focus. Don't lose focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you need an accountability group, someone to keep you in line and ask you, how far have you read the Bible? You know, have you picked up your Bible this week? If you need someone to keep you in check, do it. Pastor, I remember my roommate, Angeline. Some of you know her from Kenya. She was my accountability partner. And during the day, she'd be like, you've been doing homework all day. Have you spent time with God? Have you put him more important than your projects and all these other things that's due? And she used to keep me intact. And it worked. It kept me intact. Sometimes we arrange our lives in such a way that our faith goes with our doubt. And let me tell you what I mean. We arrange things so that we don't need divine aid. We pray and we say, well, God, I want you to move this way. I want you to answer this prayer. But we go in the very same breath and we make backup plans. So if this doesn't work, I'm going to have this plan. And if God doesn't answer this, then I'm going to have this plan. We always seem to have a false sense of faith. We say we have faith, but our actions speak louder than the words we just spoke. A false sense of faith. We think we have faith, but then our actions speak complete opposite. Do we trust God completely? Do we have real faith or do we have a substitute faith? It's terrifying sometimes when God asks you to do something and it really requires faith. You just don't even know how to do it, but you trust that God will. It would be better to invite God now to remove every false sense of faith. I want to give you some examples, especially this one in Trinidad. And when I told them this, they just laughed at me, but it's so true. They pray for God to protect us. And then at every door, they put a baton or a cutlass to keep the criminals out. It's like you just prayed for God to protect you and now you're putting weapons near your door so anybody comes in, you can whack them on the head. You pray for healing, but then you're going to take 2 tablets just to ease the pain. It's doubt. We believe God's report, but then we say we got to go to the doctor to get the doctor's report. Sometimes we have more faith in the doctors than we do in God. We ask God for protection, But then we have all these backup plans and we call everyone and tell them we're headed this way and if I don't reach by this time, I want you to come look for me. We pray and we ask God for something, but then you go and you try and tell others to move them into answering your prayer for you. Sometimes our faith is to the point that we want evidence. We want to see how it's going to work. Sometimes we pray, God, change this person, and then you go and you tell them what's wrong with them so that they can change. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. We pray, but there is a doubt with us. We pray, but then we make a safety net. We make a backup plan. We make an emergency plan. We make a disclaimer just in case the prayer is not answered. What kind of faith do you have? Only when you can see it? Or do you have faith in the darkness also? See, there's something called blind faith. Blind faith is, God, I trust you, and that's it. Do you trust them only when you can see the hand of God moving? Do you trust them only when you get confirmation that he is going to do what you think he's going to do? Or do you trust them always, even when nothing works? There's a song that says, it's called Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. And it says, God, when you don't move the mountains that I'm needing you to move, and when you don't part the waters I wish I could walk through, when you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. It's easy to trust God when you see him moving. It's easy to trust God when you see the doors opening. But when you're in complete darkness, do you trust him? How much faith do we have? When we pray prayers, do we actually believe that he will answer it to the very end? Or do we put backup plans and disclaimers? Well, just in case God doesn't answer this in time, I'll ask this one for a loan and I'll borrow money from them to meet this bill. We pray, but then our very next action and our very next word shows complete doubt. We're undoing our prayers. And we need to stop doing that. When you pray, pray with your whole heart. Sometimes it's easy to say, God, I trust in you. But what exactly are you asking God to do for you? Sometimes we don't ever want to be specific. Because that requires faith. That requires through faith. When I was at Lee, I wanted God to pay my way through college. And both my parents were unemployed. My mom was a pastor in Trinidad and my dad just lost his job. And God said that he was going to bring me here and he was going to take me through college. And there was absolutely no way it could happen. I used to sing this song, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see, but he will make a way for me. And do you know that by the time I graduated debt-free? Praise God. I'm telling you, God moves mountains. I got scholarships that I never even applied for. I got checks in the mail that I have no idea why these people are sending me checks, but I took them anyway. I'm telling you, it was crazy. But even through the crazy times, God is still good. He took me all the way through. Jesus said, if you would only believe. The world relies on sense. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you taste it? Can you actually touch it? But God says, you don't need none of those things. You just need to believe. That's all. He only asks that you believe. And I'm not talking about the belief that you say it with your mouth and then disclaim and, you know, cut down your prayer in the next second. I'm talking about believe, like true belief. Without any disclaimers, without any backup plans, true belief in God. I pray that your faith in God would grow more. I pray that today when you leave here and you start saying something and you start undoing your faith, that God will knock you over the head and shake you up and say, stop doing that. Not just saying I have faith, but be specific. God, I want you to move in this area, and I'm not going to be a nagging wife. I'm going to trust that you know best, that you are powerful enough to do it, and that your goodness is more than enough. How much do you trust him? It says, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. And in Mark 9, verse 24, there was a father of a child. He cried out with tears and he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I love that prayer. God, I want to believe you. I don't see how things are going to work out, but God, help my unbelief too. Help me through it. He doesn't just leave you on the wayside. He walks with you all the way. God is just so good. And sometimes we need a reminder. There's this other song by Lauren Daigle that says, you say. And sometimes we just need to go by what God says. It says, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. Remember I told you it's not by your senses. It's based on who God is. So whether you feel loved or not, you are loved. And you say I am strong when I am weak. I don't even feel like I can make it to the next day. But God, you said that I am strong, and I'm going by what you say, not how I feel. And you say I am held when I'm falling short. And when I don't belong, God, you say I am yours. And she says, I believe, oh yes, I believe. Sometimes you got to talk yourself into it. Help my unbelief, God, I believe. You need to read the word. If you don't read the word of God, you won't know. Stop relying on everyone else to tell you what God's word says. Pick it up, read it yourself. The Holy Spirit is more than able to give you the revelation yourself. The best thing you can do for the next generation is give them the word of God and let the Holy Spirit give them the interpretation. Let God grow your faith. And when you realize areas in your life, when you're doing things that show doubt, or you're making backup plans or emergency plans to your prayers in case God doesn't answer it, stop. And pray that prayer. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I pray that the Lord would minister to you today and that you would learn a lot and that you won't stop here, but your faith would be greater. The Bible doesn't really talk much about Jesus being amazed, but he was amazed twice, the Bible says. When the woman touched the hem of his garment, he was amazed by her faith. Great faith. And there was a centurion who said, God, I want you to heal my daughter, but you don't even need to go there. You just speak the word and I know she'll be healed. And he said, you have great faith. And I hope that you have great faith. Let your faith grow in you. Keep feeding yourself with the word of God. Whether you feel like it or not, feed yourself with the word of God. God bless you.